Greetings, Lectionary at Lunch. This is Paul Robbie, and the Old Testament lesson is Isaiah 40, verses 1 to 5. This is paired with Acts 13, where the Apostle Paul brings the message of salvation, and Mark 4, where Jesus uses parables about the kingdom. I think it's meant to connect mostly with the Acts 13 passage. Isaiah 40 is a very famous chapter, common for Advent season, but it's good to read and preach from any time of the year. And here we have it in the Pentecost season as well. Our text is 40 verses 1 to 5. Very famous words. Nakamu, nakamu, ami. Plural imperative, pl. Comfort, comfort, my people. Yomar Elohekem says, the God of you all, your God. God is speaking to a plural group and telling that plural group to comfort my people. Who is this plural group that's supposed to comfort my people? The text doesn't say. It could be the heavenly assembly. We have that up in chapter 6, these voices, the seraphim, and they could then be the recipients of this message. We know that Isaiah himself speaks in verse 6 and asks, what shall I cry? So it's a common view that this is the assembly of the prophets that is supposed to comfort my people. It's not an important question, really. The key is that my people are to be comforted. Verse 2, Dabaru, again, plural imperatives. Speak upon the heart of Jerusalem. That's an idiom for speak tenderly. Speak in a comforting, tender way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is my people. And cry out to her. Again, that's a plural imperative. That, and then you have three key clauses to go with the three imperatives. This is what is supposed to be said to Jerusalem, that her tzava has been fulfilled. There's some discussion on what tzava means. For details, I refer you to Dr. Reed Lessing's commentary on Isaiah 40 to 55 in the Concordia Publishing House commentary series. Why is the verb feminine? Probably because of the feminine suffix on tzava'ah, thinking of Jerusalem then. Her tzava'ah, that could be probably her compulsory servitude, her imposed servitude, has been fulfilled. Her allotted time to be a slave has been fulfilled. It's over. That nirtza avona, that her iniquity has been ratza. Ratza normally means to accept, nifal, to be accepted. Avon normally can either mean iniquity or, in this case, the punishment for the iniquity. So her punishment for the iniquity has been accepted. God has accepted it as fulfilled, as accomplished. That she has received from the hand of Yahweh kiflayim, double. The bath is probably a bath pretii, a bath of exchange, in exchange for all her sins. You could look at this either as she has received double blessing for all her sins, or more likely, in my view, she has received double punishment for all her sins. I take it that Yahweh is considering her exile to be more than sufficient punishment for all her sins. Of course, we know technically it wasn't nearly enough of a punishment. As we confess every Sunday, we all indeed deserve temporal and eternal punishment. But Yahweh, in his graciousness, accepts this exile as more than enough. So she has received from the hand of Yahweh what is considered double for all her sins. So verses 1 to 2 are saying, Jerusalem's time of punishment and servitude is over. Jerusalem will now have a new future and should be comforted with these promises. This part of the book, of course, makes a dramatic change to the future of Jerusalem and her restoration and salvation and ultimately new heavens, new earth. Verse 3, Kol Kore, a voice of one crying. You could take it as a construct chain. Could maybe take it as a interjection. Hark, one crying. But my hunch is the Masoretes intended it to be as a construct chain. A voice of one crying out. In the wilderness, panu, a plural imperative. Prepare the way of Yahweh. Yasharu, make straight in the Arabah, the desert. That's technically the desert south of the Dead Sea. Make straight in the desert, Masilah, a highway, a road that has been built up for our God. So the picture is that Yahweh is coming to save and that they should get ready, prepare a way for Yahweh to come, get ready for his arrival. Yahweh is coming as a majestic king. It's obviously imagery. It's not that Yahweh actually needs a highway, but it's imagery for get ready for the coming of God. God is on his way, and he's coming with salvation. Verse 4, Kol Geh Yinase, every valley will be lifted up. V'kol Har V'giv'ah Yishpalu, and every mountain and hill will become low. V'haya he'akov, and the crooked, haya plus la means to become, will become Mishor, a plain, from the root yashar, straight. Akov, crooked, remember that's Jacob's name is from that root. And the rough places, rakasim, Vahaya goes with this part too, will become Bika, a wide valley, a wide plain. So the idea is that all obstructions will be removed. Nobody will be unable to see what's about to happen. The valleys will be lifted up. The mountains will be brought low. And then verse 5, and then the glory of Yahweh, the kavod of Yahweh, will be revealed, or that's a niphal, you could take it as reflexive, will reveal itself. And all flesh will see, you got to supply it together. So I think on the first level, he's simply saying all of the crooked places and valleys and hills and obstructions are removed so that the whole human race, all flesh, can see the glory of Yahweh when Yahweh comes with salvation. And then why does he make this unbelievable promise? Because the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Why does he make this unbelievable promise? Because the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Now, verse 5 is certainly the key. The glory of Yahweh is coming. Yahweh is coming in all of his majesty and splendor. The kavod of Yahweh, first of all, refers to the presence of Yahweh. It's the heaviness of Yahweh. That Yahweh is here. And the kavod is what's seeable when Yahweh comes. The majesty, splendor, brightness that's seeable. So Yahweh, our God, is coming. He's coming in a big way. And all flesh will see it at the same time. So Jerusalem should get ready, because God is coming with salvation. The exile is over. Now comes the age of salvation. And this would be a gospel promise for the exiles. And remember, a lot of exiles, a lot of people went into exile already at the time of Isaiah. The northern kingdom was in exile. All of Judah was in exile except for Jerusalem. And then in chapter 39, Isaiah announces that Jerusalem will go into exile. So chapter 40 presupposes that that happened as well. So now after the exile, now so Isaiah assumes they're in exile, and now comes the next stage in God's plan, that of salvation. And God himself comes mighty to save. It's when we hear this passage, we think, first of all, of the second coming of Christ. And what a glorious day that will be. God in the flesh will come, and all flesh will see it together. And for us, his people, what a day of joy that will be. And how that promise carries us on and keeps us going. But this coming of God broke into history ahead of time in more of a lowly, hidden way, and that's actually kind of surprising. John the Baptist announced it, and then Jesus comes, and instead of in all of this majesty, he comes in his state of humiliation, in his lowly state, and even allows himself to be crucified, dead and buried. But then he rises from the dead and is exalted above all things and is now Lord over all, ruling over all on behalf of his church, and then promises to come again in glory. So the passage reaches its fulfillment in the first coming of God in the flesh and its consummation with the second coming of God in the flesh, his glorious coming, which will be with majesty and awe. It's obviously a strong gospel passage. We need to remember how often the New Testament talks about the church in exile, as all of us are in exile in this world, in this present evil age. And yet we have the hope of God's promise of the age to come, that the glory of Yahweh will reveal itself and all flesh will see it together. So this passage comforts us and helps us to look forward to the future as well. Well, those are some thoughts that I have on this passage. And again, I encourage you to take a look at Dr. Lessing's commentary on Isaiah 40 to 55. Thank you very much.